is simply that I went and fell in love. Wonder why I'm not.
All right, if I could, I'd like to call the meeting to order for the Goleta Planning Commission for today, February 13th. If you would all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Madam Clerk, if you could do the roll call for us.
Thank you. Commissioner Maynard.
Present.
Commissioner Miller.
Present.
Commissioner Smith.
Present.
Commissioner Fuller.
Here.
Chair Onan.
Here.
Thank you.
All right. So do we have any amendments or adjustments here to the agenda?
We do not.
Okay. So our first item after our roll call is for election of Planning Commissioner Chair and Vice Chair. So at this time, the commission, any of the standing commissioners can make a nomination as to who we would like to serve for the next year as the chair.
I would like to nominate Commissioner Keith Maynard for the position of chair.
All right, thank you. Second to that nomination?
I'll second the nomination.
All right, any discussion? You want us to nominate both at the same time? We'll go through one at a time. So without seeing any discussion, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Looks unanimous.
Should I vote if it was myself?
Of course you should.
Then yes.
So then it's unanimous. All right. So now we're going to entertain a nomination to serve as vice chair for the Planning Commission for the next year. Would anyone like to make a nomination?
I'll make a nomination. Can I nominate Ed Fuller?
Nomination has been made. Do we have a second?
I'll second the nomination.
All right. So we have a nomination and a second for Mr. Fuller. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Looked like unanimous again, so we don't have to look for nays or abstentions. So now I think we get to change places.
I get to stay where I am.
You. That would be fine.
Well, you get to stay. I think while you're doing that, I just want to introduce that we have two new planning commissioners. We have Robert Miller and Jennifer Smith with us for their first meetings tonight.
At this time, I would like to ask if there are any speaker slips for the public forum. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Thank you.
With that, I believe we close the public forum. Okay. And at this point, we would like to move on to agenda item A1, Planning Commission meeting minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of December 12th, 2016. Are there any edits on those Planning Commission meeting minutes? No? Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion to pass the meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All those, I guess, who were present say aye. So I will. Aye.
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 Okay. So actually, and then a new Planning Commissioner should abstain as you weren't at the last meeting. Yes.
I'll abstain.
Abstain.
Okay. Wonderful. So with that, I think we should go on to agenda item B1, General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan 2016, Progress Report to OPR and HCD. And I believe we're hearing presentations from Ms. Wells and Mr. Newkirk.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. As we do every year, we provide you with a presentation on the status and progress of the general plan implementation that we've undertaken in that previous calendar year.
I apologize. Can I interrupt? The previous chair has just alerted me that there was, in fact, a speaker slip that I had not noted. So can I go back to the public? Okay.
That's for item B1.
And that's for B1. Okay. So maybe we could hear the presentation and then we'll do the public comment. Does that work? Okay.
That also works. So this is an item that's required under the state regulations that we provide you with this report on our general plan implementation progress. You will find in your packet an actual written description of our progress, including a resolution that, if you agree, would get forwarded to the City Council with a recommendation to forward the report to the state. So that's State Office of Planning and Research and also Housing and Community Development. There are two bodies that require that we submit these reports. And then they post them online, and they double check and make sure everybody's submitting their annual reports. The purpose of the annual reports, both to provide a status of the report, but also to describe the progress in the implementation, and also to document our progress towards meeting our regional housing needs allocation, which is also state law. And if you remember, I'm sure you do, in 2015, we received state HCD certification for our housing elements. So that was the first time the city's received their official certification. So this will be the first time that we're submitting an annual report under the blessing of their certification. And we're also required to list the housing units that were constructed in that calendar year, so 2016. Mm-hmm. And what we list and document are the houses that were granted certificates of occupancy. Mm-hmm. So we track pending projects, but as we grant occupancy, we document them, include them in the report, and then there are several forms that you have to fill out and send up to the state so that they can also keep track of the statewide housing unit development. So as we jump right into the report, I'm going to start with the general plan amendment summary, because that's probably, you know, maybe one of the bigger things that we track in planning is, you know, what is the status of our general plan, and is it internally consistent as we move forward with general plan amendments? There have been 16 adopted amendments to date. Many of those were city initiated. Some of those were developer initiated. Some of those were small. Or some relatively small map changes to correct something that was found in the field to update to current conditions. Other things were larger, like land use changes. We're required to track initiated amendments because our general plan amendments must be initiated by our city council. That's per a resolution that they passed. We had no general plan amendments initiated in 2016. We do have four pending developer-funded amendments. Two are land conversions from agriculture to residential, the Shelby Trust and the Kenwood Village projects. Those have a ways to go in the process. And then we also have the Heritage Ridge, which is one of those map updates to reflect what is being analyzed in the environmental document as a current version of the environmentally sensitive habitat. And again, I'm not advocating for these general plan amendments. I'm just letting you know what general plan amendments are, where they're at in the process.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where is, I tried to find this in the report, couldn't find it. Heritage Ridge, where is that located, just generally?
Heritage Ridge is right across the street.
Right there. Thank you.
Willow Springs, some people call it. And then the Hollister Village apartment project is a land use change from community commercial to residential for 33 residential studio apartments. Again, you will see these projects. They're discretionary actions, so they will require planning commission recommendation to the city council. And then there's one city-initiated amendment that's pending, and that's the Old Town Park project. That's, of course, in Old Town. And it includes a land use change from residential to Old Town commercial. With that introduction, I'm going to turn this presentation over to Andy Newkirk, who Spends a lot of his time tracking our general plan progress and working with other departments. The report, of course, is not reflective of the planning department. It's reflective of what everyone's doing citywide as a team here at City Hall. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of interaction that goes into these reports, which is a side benefit mm-hmm. to the state law requiring that we submit this, is that internal collaboration to get on the same page as to where we're at in our progress. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'll turn it over to the staff who's doing the lion's share of the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Maynard, fellow commissioners. This presentation, the report's quite lengthy. There's a lot of information there. So this presentation is somewhat brief and highlights some of the activity that's been going on within the city over this last year. So first off, the land use element, implementation action one, and you see this project come up in a lot of different implementation actions throughout the general plan, is preparation and adoption of the new zoning code. This commission is well aware, there's an extensive review that went on in 2016. So the public draft was released in November 2015, and pretty much all the public outreach and review occurred in calendar year 2016. That included 3 open houses at City Hall, 8 planning commission workshops, 5 design review board meetings to discuss some of the more design-related elements within that draft. And the city also offered up the public, any interested party or group, an opportunity to meet with staff. And we had 15 of those such meetings in 2016. Since then, staff has worked to review all the comments received from the public and from the Planning Commission and Design Review Board, and has worked on processing those and mm-hmm. incorporating changes in state law along the way. The open space element includes feasibility study for open space district and acquisition methods. This one of the areas that's a real focus here is the area just kind of to the northeast of the Elwood mm-hmm. open space. There's an open space overlay, and the city has worked to purchase those properties. The 6th property purchase occurred in 2016 using a couple different funding sources to acquire that area. And so the work to acquire additional parcels is continuing. There's several management plans going on on Elwood Mesa. There's also a butterfly docent program. There's open space maintenance, a couple different restoration sites on the Mesa for various projects within the city. And there's also the Elwood Trails and Habitat Restoration Project, which is mm-hmm. ongoing and working towards getting a coastal development permit. Previously, the greenhouse gas reduction plan was adopted. There's been some progress towards effectuating some of the implementations outlined in that plan, one of which is a community choice energy project. That's one of the main local community choice aggregation or community choice energy, one of the main local implementations within that plan. That has begun, spearheaded by the county. And there's a feasibility process that's ongoing right now that should have some results in the near future. And they also have a name, Central Coast Power, and a website with further information as the working group works through that process. From the city side, in February of 2016, council adopted water efficient landscape ordinance, and that helps effectuate a couple of the water efficiency implementations within the climate action plan. The safety element includes annual oil and gas safety audits, much like in 2015. This did not occur in 2016 as the EOF was not operational because of the pipeline rupture that had occurred. So all previous audit findings have been resolved and no new audits have occurred. There is an update to the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan in 2016 that's still going through some review, but that was an update that was seen in 2016. The VH implementation action 4 considers the creation of a historic preservation board or committee. Without stealing too much thunder from the next item, that process began in 2016 and the first workshop occurred in December, but you'll hear much more about that to come tonight. The transportation element includes the capital improvements program and budget. There's a lot of activity with the CIPs in 2016. In total, 45 projects in the program with a total cost of $135 million. Picked out a couple highlights here. The Maria Ignacio bike path lighting project was completed. If anyone bikes there at night or walks their dog, they know how significant that project is. The pathway lighting project at the Boys and Girls Club was completed. The Evergreen Park tennis court resurfacing was done, and I think the before and after picture there is quite striking. There are also a couple crosswalk improvements in Old Town that were completed. That Hollister Class 1 bikeway in Elwood, I think the design really got moving on that, and so that's a project coming. And then also the San Jose Creek bike path, southern and middle extent, is coming down the road as well. So there's some bike improvements. There's also the bike and ped master plan began in 2016, so there's a lot of outreach. There's a slide on that. And the Hollister Avenue Complete Streets project also began. So more to come from those projects in 2017. Also from the transportation element is an implementation action for an in-lieu fee program for Old Town. While that hasn't completely been done, there has been a lot of effort from city staff to get find additional parking options in Old Town. So a success in 2016 was executing a three-year shared parking agreement for 18 spots at the bank, right, I think that's Pine Avenue right there, so on the south side of Hollister. So those are publicly available, I believe, during daylight hours. Like I mentioned, the bicycle transportation plan, there's really quite a bit of outreach done in 2016. There's three open houses. They had a table at Community Rail Marketplace, at the Lemon Festival. There's an online survey that's still open, I believe, for another week or two. But they've gotten a lot of responses on that. Pretty remarkable outreach work being done. So more will be done on that plan in 2017. But a lot of work began in 2016. So the housing element, one of the policies is to monitor and preserve assisted affordable housing. One project that's underway right now, construction and rehab at Villa Esperanza in Old Town. It was a 75-unit project. It's getting new landscaping, new communal facilities, and they're remodeling such that some of the units with several bedrooms are getting made into less bedroom units to accommodate the type of need that is found for affordable housing. So there'll be an additional 8 affordable units once that project is complete, for a total of 83 affordable units on site. And that was able, through the planning process, was able to utilize a density bonus to achieve the new density of that project. Preserve mobile home parks and facilitate mobile home park ownership. The city adopted an ordinance in February 2016 to regulate mobile home park closures and changes of use. And this was, there's a lot of work done with mobile home park residents to adopt an ordinance that tried to address some of their concerns with their mobile home parks. HE 2.1 seeks to encourage a diverse range of housing. So there's a couple slides here of some of the projects ongoing that have units other than traditional apartments or single-family dwellings. So Old Town, the Old Town mixed-use project includes live, work, and shopkeeper units, so that kind of mix the residential and commercial uses within one site. And there's also some 14 income-restricted units to that project. Mariposa Assisted Living Facility out on Hollister and Elwood is a assisted living facility with 58 guest rooms, a total of 84 beds. That project is under pretty far along in construction right now. We expect it to be done certainly within the 2017 year. HE 2.4 considers facilitating affordable housing development. One thing the city was able to do in 2016 was utilize the in-lieu housing fund to support the 70-unit affordable income-restricted multifamily project portion of the Village at Los Carneros. And that was work alone provided to People's Self-Help, who is operating that site. So when we look at funding for affordable housing, the existing balance in the in-lieu fund is $50,000, which is significantly less than what was seen in the year prior, and in part because there's no deposits in 2016, but also because of that loan to People's Self-Help, which expended a lot of the funds that were available in 2016. So HE 5.1 requires housing element updates pursuant to state law. So this is a little bit of history now. The city adopted the new housing element and got it certified for the first time ever in 2015. So it's really now tracking that housing element during this housing cycle. Up on the screen, you'll see the RENA allocation for the city. And we broke up very low and extremely low to reflect the inclusionary policy 2.5 in our housing element. But these are the numbers, and the report includes a table kind of tracking how many units have come along, and they're also provided in one of the appendices that will be submitted to state housing and community development. And that's HCD for short. So the production summary in 2016, there's a total of 135 units, 132 of which were at West Star Hollister Village. There's 660 units under construction. A significant portion are across the street from where we're sitting now at the Village of Los Carzoneros. And that project includes, as I mentioned, a 70-unit affordable housing portion. And as part of that project, there will be 13 units affordable to households earning up to 50% of area median income, and then another 56 for households earning up to 60% median income in the region. Old Town Village is a 175-unit project in total, and 14 of those units will be restricted to the moderate and above moderate category as outlined in Housing Element Policy 2.5, which is the inclusionary housing policy. And then Via La Esperanza, as I mentioned, there'll be 8 additional affordable units as part of that project for a total rehab and new development for 83 units. And Citrus Village is a 10-unit project that will not have an affordable portion on site. There's approximately 700 units in permanent design right now. Cortona is a project that already has its planning approvals that came before the Planning Commission and City Council probably a couple years ago now. It has not been constructed yet, but it has its appropriate approvals. Heritage Ridge is going through the planning process, as is Shelby, Kenwood, and Hollister Village. And so there's still some other smaller projects out there, but those are kind of the larger projects that we wanted to highlight as part of this presentation. So some of the highlights, 2016, no general plan amendments, public zoning draft under review. There's a lot going on in Old Town in several different implementation actions in this report, including a lot of pedestrian improvements that were completed, some bicycle project or some projects that will impact potentially the bicycle use in Old Town that began in 2016, and then also work on finding adequate parking in Old Town. There's another land acquisition near Elwood Mesa, and a lot going on in the capital improvement, both projects underway but not completed, but also quite a few projects that got completed in 2016. So what you have before you is a recommendation to adopt the resolution provided in the packet to recommend to the City Council approval of the report and submittal to the state agencies as required by state law. And we're available for any questions.
So maybe I can take public comment, and then we'll open it up to commissioner questions. So my first public comment is by Mr. Scott Cooper.
My name is Scott Cooper. I'm a long-term resident of Goleta. I'm also the co-chair of the Santa Barbara Audubon Society's Conservation Committee. I'm also a professor at UCSB, and my areas of expertise are watershed science and stream ecology. I first want to thank the commission and chair for allowing me this opportunity to provide comments on the progress report for our general plan and local coastal plan. I also want to thank staff for their excellent job in tracking our progress on these subjects and for all of you for keeping us moving forward in compliance with our general plan. There is, however, in the mind of Audubon and other environmental organizations, an ongoing emission. IA3 in the conservation element calls for a stream and watershed management plan. We have taken no action on developing that plan in the recent past or currently. So we strongly urge the commission to move forward and recommending to the city council that you begin the process of developing a stream and watershed management plan. In the elements of the progress report that refer to this as this particular plan, there is allusion to county flood controls plan and annual updates. There's also text that addresses the stormwater management plan and the annual report that's filed with the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. The trick is none of those are creek or watershed plans. They're not even close. Those things are very narrow foci. They're related to the management of flood damage and also to water quality. But a decent watershed and creek management plan is much more all-inclusive. It includes the biota, it includes wildlife, it includes vegetation. You need to do a complex analysis looking at the distribution and extent of the geology, the soils, the vegetation, all of these things, because anything that happens in a basin affects everything that's downslope and downstream. So you may ask me why I think this is important and many of the environmental organizations think this is important. Well, first of all, I think one of the great amenities we have in the city of Goleta is our open spaces. And a major element of our open spaces are our creeks and riparian zones. Many of them have trails. They're used for all kinds of passive recreation. They have aesthetic appeal. And in addition, we use them for biking, bird watching, all kinds of things. So these are very important resources, I think, for the community. Furthermore, they're biodiversity hotspots, and they support environmentally sensitive habitat that supports a vast array of sensitive species. So I urge the Planning Commission to recommend move forward, do whatever you can to move forward with the development of a stream and watershed management plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Cooper. Our next person is Ms. Barbara Macy.
Barbara Macy, Goleta. Good to see new members here this evening. Hope you'll have fun. And I'm just here for one thing, to support Scott Cooper's comments on needing to move forward with the stream and watershed management plan. But I have one other thing. In looking at the PowerPoint presentation, I noticed under housing element, HE 1.4, mobile home parks, there's a sore spot with me here. You have Rancho Estates Mobile Home Park listed as Rancho Mobile Home Park. The draft EIR was incorrectly distributed and moved forward toward a final EIR with the wrong name, and it still has not been corrected. So I thought I would bring up that point now, because if you go to an FEIR without having given people a chance to read a draft EIR knowing what mobile home park it is, because they think it's the one, many of them think it was the one over on Ward, which is the name that you have on that draft EIR. So you have a problem coming, and nobody at the city seems to want to deal with this.
Thank you very much, Ms. Massey, and we'll encourage staff to take a look at that correction. Are there any other speaker slips? So with that, I'll open it up for commissioner questions or comments.
Okay. I just had a few questions and comments. So I noticed, I wanted to thank you for the PowerPoint presentation. That was helpful to summarize the information. And because one of the first things that stood out for me in looking at the report was seeing the real challenges with affordable housing. And so it's helpful to see, when I was looking at page 41 of the report, seeing that there were zeros in the last year or two in the lowest levels of income levels. So it was helpful to know that there's units that are going to be coming on that'll hit some of those lower income targets. So thank you for clarifying that. And is my understanding correct that this report is just it's sort of for informational purposes? The state, do they take any action in relation to this report or issue any sort of response to the city?
We have never gotten a response. You know, we submit the report pursuant to state law. It's typically posted on the state website as a reference, mm-hmm. but beyond that, we typically, or in every case, have not gotten feedback. And I think that's it would be mm-hmm. fairly rare to hear back from the state on a report like this.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner, I think that they are taking a little more interest. The state's taking a little more interest in our annual reports, both with the posting. Like, so each year they do a little bit more with the accountability on their website. And state housing and community development from the housing portion of it are more closely tracking implementation, especially the housing production. While we're not in the business of building the housing, we're right in that spot where we can assist, like we did with the People's Self-Help Building, and providing them with funds and other things to be able to enable them to get that building across the street for affordable housing. But so I guess what I'm saying is the regulations haven't specifically changed except for state HCD asking for more documentation, but there has been a greater level of interest in the annual reports. So.
Thank you. And then in light of the comment, is there a timeline or regarding the implementation of a potential creek and watershed management plan?
We don't have a timeline, but certainly mm-hmm. we will pass this information on, and we take this item to the city council before it goes to the state, which is April 1st. So we will relay mm-hmm. the point because we've heard it from a number of people. So,
can I ask a follow-up question regarding that? One of the recommendations from our public comment was that the Planning Commission make a recommendation to the City Council that they task staff to do this. Is that the sort of thing that we could do? Would that be appropriate within this meeting?
Well, that's part of our budget and part of our mm-hmm. capital improvement program, so I don't think that would be part of this action tonight. But I think expressing interest and the public's comments, they don't fall on deaf ears. They're heard. This is the right time of year because we're just getting ready to do the budget mm-hmm. For the next fiscal year, which part of the reason that we have the timing the way it mm-hmm. is you do your annual report now and mm-hmm. then you do your budgeting and your fiscal planning. Mm-hmm. So we will pass this information on. But as far as it being part of this action, I don't think so because it has too many other the project prioritization and budgeting that is controlled by the city council. But they will know about this. Yeah. Okay.
And then just one final comment on page 37 of the report, and it's page 51 of our packet. There's a reference to housing element 5.1, which actually talks about having this meeting for the public so that we can solicit input. But I actually noticed that provision of the housing element, it sort of contemplates sort of specifically requesting input, not just on the general plan more broadly, but specifically on the housing element. So I don't know. I'm still sort of learning procedures and how things work, but I don't know if in the future it might be helpful to list as a sub part of the agenda items like that specifically maybe that we're seeking input on the housing element since that seems to be sort of envisioned within that portion of the element 5.1. Oh.
Thank you for that feedback. We have talked about that policy internally. You know, we just received certification from the state. This is a relatively new policy for us. And we do see, and the reason it's written is so that we can have that touch point with the public. And so we will be conferring about how in the upcoming year to integrate that into part of our program.
Great, thank you. I don't have any other comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Commissioner Miller, did you have any comments?
Yes, thank you. Maybe I missed this in the report, but I also took notice when I was reading it on page 55, where we have the listing of various income levels, housing objectives, and we have extremely low, very low, low, moderate, above moderate, and we have numbers in the above moderate category, but all zeros in the other categories. And maybe this is not appropriate for a report, which essentially looks backward, but do we have numbers in mind that we're going to see in 2017? Is that already part of some plan or information that we have now?
Yeah, it's fairly easy to predict, at least within the next couple of years, because these projects have gone through the planning process. So with Village of Los Carneros, there's a 70-unit affordable project, and 13 of the units will be limited to those incomes up to 50% of area and median income. That would fall generally within the very low category, and then 56 units up to 60% of median income, and that would fall fairly more or less in the low category. So there'll be quite a few units as part of the Village of Los Carneros, and that project, if you've driven on Los Carneros, you know, is well underway. So the building permits have been pulled, so that's under construction now. When exactly those units will be finished depends on the construction process, but they'll be coming. And then Old Town Village will have seven moderate income category, and there'll also be, this is kind of a little nuance, because we have in our inclusionary policy a category for workforce housing, which is 120% to 200% median income. The state doesn't have that category. So in that table four in the report, above moderate is just everything kind of including non-income restricted units. So seven of the units at Old Town Village will fall within that category, but actually do have an income restriction that's similar to some of the units at Haskell's Landing. So in last year's report, we noted that it doesn't necessarily, it's shown in the table. And then with Villa Esperanza, there'll be eight units up to 60% median income, and that will fall within the low category. So those are several projects kind of ongoing that in the not too distant future will have some units within those categories.
So do I understand correctly then that these categories are mandated by state law, except for the last one, the above moderate one?
So if you don't mind, I'll answer that one. That the state says you have to show that you have adequate sites for the housing. And the way that we have documented and they've certified, the state certified that we have adequate sites, is to show that we have vacant lands suitable for housing at 20 units per acre or more for that 979 sites. But they want us to track it by income category. So then when you have the 979 sites, you break it down by your percentage within, in this case, our county, because they issue out your regional housing needs allocation by your metropolitan planning area, or in this case, Santa Barbara County is our metropolitan planning area. Some counties are multiple counties in the planning area, and the state says this planning area is expected to grow in the next so many years by this much at these kinds of demographics. So you need to show us that you're getting out ahead of this and that you're planning and identifying sites for housing. So they said to us, essentially, I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but you've got to show that you've got 979 units or planned for that you can accommodate housing if you have the developers or landowners wanting to build within your city. So we went in, we showed them our sites. They agreed with us, and not to say that that's always very easy to do. You really have to show that you have the land uses, that you can defend, that you have evidence to show that you've produced it in the past. So it takes a little while, but they did. But when we track, we need to track it by these income categories. But we're not held accountable at the end of the 8-year planning cycle to these specific line items. But they use them when they look at our next allocation for our next 8-year cycle. When we get to that 2022 mark, they're going to want to see, huh, I wonder how they did, you know, when you break it out by income categories. So it's kind of their ruler, sort of. And we'll see how that goes in 8 years from now. But we are required to track it. But it's that overall 979 units that we're held accountable to, for which we have built 469 to date.
Kind of a more fundamental question for me is the definition of very low, is that's a state definition or is that our definition?
These are all state definitions. Okay, so, required.
Yeah. So very low, for example, means what? What is that? How do you define very low under the state standards? Is it?
So our housing element includes similar definitions to the state law, except that we added an extremely low definition as well. The city has added a couple additional definitions. One is for this above moderate category workforce category of 120% to 200% median income. That's not a state defined group, and we added the extremely low, which I can cite for you in a moment.
While he's looking it up, so we took the state required for very low and split it for extremely low, which is a recommendation by the state. So we're also starting to acknowledge this other category of income, and they break it out by your average and your wages. And so Andy will give you the breakdown.
Yeah, so extremely low would be households earning 30% or less of the median household income. And you can get the actual numbers from the state for all these categories. So there's an actual fixed number that adjusts for the area and changes over time. And then we have very low, which is 30 to 50%. In state law, very low is less than 50%, but we kind of broke it out between very low and extremely low. Low income is 50 to 80%. Moderate would be 80 to 120%. And then we have the above moderate, or the workforce households, as we define it, as 120 to 200%. And so, and those groups are also reflected in our inclusionary housing policy, which is HE 2.5.
That's very helpful. Thank you. I have one other question, and maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves here too, but is there some general timeline at the moment for the zoning code? We talk about the zoning code a lot in the progress report, and I'm just wondering what our general timeline on that is.
Yeah, I'll give you a little update on the zoning ordinance. So as you know, there was a lot of public outreach in 2016, and the Planning Commission did a full page turn, and we received a lot of feedback from the Planning Commission and from our public. So we've been working on pulling those pieces together so you can get an underlined strike through from the draft plus an explanation as to why things changed. We also have some new council persons and new commissioners, as you see tonight. And so we'll be doing a little bit more workshopping and outreach because we do have new people. We want to make sure that we're everyone's on the same page as we move forward. So we're not just going to release a draft and here you go. We're going to do more outreach so that people understand where we left off, what we've changed, and where we're at today. So you'll see that in the coming months.
Did you have any other questions, Commissioner Miller?
That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Fuller?
Yeah. If I may, I just wanted to emphasize Ms. Massey's comment about the mobile home parks. There are two mobile home parks with very similar names. That is not the correct name for that mobile home park, and to put it on a legal document like an EIR is not a very good thing. And I sure hope the city can get that corrected as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner or Vice Chair Fuller. Commissioner Onan, did you have any comments?
Thank you. I do have a question for staff. So the final Appendix D, the Housing Successor Annual Report. Obviously, I think that's a new document. We haven't seen that when we've been reviewing the general plan in past years. And I really didn't understand where this funding supposedly comes from. Obviously, we have none of it at the moment, but I wanted to get a better understanding of that.
We might have to return to council to provide a little more detail. This is a new requirement in state law for reporting, so it's we include in the state in this general plan annual report as it'll be submitted to the state like with the rest of the report. But I'm not familiar with many of the details about this report at this time.
So my question is then: we are approving this report or recommending approval of this report along with the annual report? Is that right?
The report gets attached, so it has its own process, and the report's just required to be attached to the annual report. So Neighborhood Services oversees the development of that, and we attach the work product.
So just again, so if we move this forward to the City Council, we can't, without having a better understanding of this, we can't, at least I wouldn't be comfortable commenting on that.
Yeah, you're not moving the merits of it. You're just moving the recommendation that this is the progress that where we're at with it, but not necessarily that the merits of our progress.
And I'm just speaking about the low moderate income housing asset fund.
Correct.
Report.
Yeah, the state wants us to track that fund, and they want us to use this document as a vehicle to relay that information.
So basically, where is that fund domiciled? At the state level? It's but domiciled here in the city?
I'm not exactly sure. It's like this is the first time that we've had to do this. So we'll have to do a little bit of homework when we take it to the City Council.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I didn't understand how that fund worked, and it didn't match up with any of the fund names that we are familiar with.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of homework and make sure that that's clear when we report to the City Council.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Any other questions or comments, Commissioner Onan? Okay, thank you very much, Commissioner Onan. I had a couple of questions and comments. So on page 24, OS1A3, and I'll switch that myself, there's a feasibility study for open space district acquisition methods. And as it describes some of the work that we're doing in terms of securing open space, and I do have to say I've just been very impressed with the city staff's work to secure additional open space. But there's a phrase here. It says, if in the future these revenue sources are not sufficient to acquire, then we might do a study such as this. And I had asked a little bit about this, and it sounds like through some of the responses I had got from city staff, the response I got from city staff is funding is still an issue for parcel purchases. We are limited by the need to wait for grant funds to become available slowly over time. The recent parcel purchase was funded using CREF grant funds in the amount of $48,000 and HCF grant funds in the amount of $48,000 awarded to the city for the purchase. If we're still looking for those grant funds, it seems like the current funding is not sufficient. And so I'd like to see if in the future these revenue sources are not sufficient, I'd like to see that stricken from the response. And we can say that, you know, a study has not yet been done, and I think that's fine to say here, but I think the funding is needed, and this sort of implies the funding isn't needed. Okay, so then I'd also like to go to page 26, and on 26, CE1A3. This is just, actually, I'll just echo some of the comments of my other commissioners and also of the public, that I do think that we should prioritize a creek and watershed management plan. I urge the city to do, the city council to do that. I'd just like that noted that as a planning commissioner, I also strongly encourage that we consider that at the city council level. For page 33, TA 135, I just a comment on clarification. We talk about the parking in lieu fee program for Old Town, and as I understand it, some of this will be addressed in the program that we describe on page 32, the Complete Streets Corridor Project. It might just be nice to mention that under the parking in lieu fee program that we will be doing a parking study as part of the Complete Streets Corridor Project. So that was just for clarification. For page 45, on HE 2.5. So we talk here about the inclusionary housing, and I think it sounds like there was a lot of questions from the commission around what's coming in the future. The presentation by staff was really informative, and I appreciated that. I'm wondering if we can add a little bit of additional detail in HE 2.5, just saying that there have been some cases where we allowed for a reduction in affordable housing, certainly within guidelines and within appropriate discretion of the city, as we do in 2.5D, we are allowed to decrease the amount of affordable housing. But as we're tracking our affordable housing, I think it's important to note, just for transparency's sake, that we did make a discretionary choice to reduce affordable housing on one project at least. And then on page 47, HE 2.8, so HE 2.5, HE 2.8. So here we said one of the things that we need to do is the city will develop an ongoing, this is page 48C, prepare a comprehensive affordable housing finance plan that addresses all local and external sources. The comment below is a great move towards this. We talk about the Community Development Block Grant Program Action Plan. I looked through that action plan this weekend, and I noted that it wasn't a comprehensive look at funding sources. So I think we should note that a comprehensive assessment has not been done of local and external sources, but some initial research has been done on funding sources. I think it's just important to note that we haven't taken that step to do the comprehensive look yet. So again, for clarification, and hopefully as we look to support affordable housing in the future, that can flag some areas that we could still improve upon. And then also on affordable housing, where are we? On page 56, 3.10.4. Here we talk about the housing projects of interest, and we describe some of the upcoming housing projects. And this is where I wanted to note that the staff report did such a great job tonight of identifying the different types of affordable housing that's coming in the future. And it would be great if that could be described also in 3.10.4, so that community members that are reading this report will be able to also have that heads up about some of the affordable housing types that will be available in the future. So rather than, for example, just saying 70 affordable units, if we could say the types of affordable units, much as Mr. Newkirk did in his presentation so wonderfully for us. So I appreciate that. And those are my comments on the general plan, or the general plan update. Any other comments from commissioners or questions? Wonderful. With that, we'll go ahead and I believe move forward with considering a recommendation. So as chair, I would be open to a motion. Would anybody like to make a motion?
Chair, would like to make a motion that we adopt a staff recommendation and adopt appropriate resolution forwarding this as recommended.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. So the recommendation thus passes. And so I believe we now go on to our next agenda item, which is a discussion item, C1, Historic Preservation Project Update. And I believe Interim Director Prossy, are you presenting this one?
I am. And the remote work from over here. Mm-hmm.
So good evening. Yes, we wanted to give you this update of where we are with the historic preservation project that's in the works. We were going to give you this presentation in December. I'm sorry that wasn't able to happen, but it works out that we get to do this for with our two new commissioners, so I think it works out. As it was mentioned in the general plan update, there is a implementation measure in the general plan. We have existing policies that embrace and spell out what the city's point of view is towards preservation, but we don't have any regulations on the books regarding historic preservation and what it means. You know, we haven't what it means and how we handle buildings that are deemed historic. Mm-hmm. So the goals of the work plan of this effort are multifold. They are to create a viable and successful preservation process. The goal is to serve it long term, not just there were a lot of ideas of how to make something work, and we wanted to really take a comprehensive look to set the groundwork for something that will be the basis going into the future for a very long time. Mm-hmm. We want to complement the new zoning ordinance. We don't want to do something that's out of sync with that. And then we definitely are building upon the work that's been done by the county and within our existing general plan. So we keep calling it a program because there's many levels to it. Mm-hmm. And one of our underlying or overarching goals is to create something that is legally defensible, which is very important. And so we are taking a very measured and detailed approach to how we're doing this. So the idea of a historic preservation program is first you need to set up what the context is for our community that lays the groundwork, and that's where we are right now. And what a context statement does is it documents the historical and cultural background of the community. And then it prioritizes what's important to the community. Based on when we establish what our context is, then you can establish what your priorities are. You know, are there particular buildings of a certain age that we really want to focus on? Or are there some landscapes? Or are there not only buildings, but maybe prehistoric sites that are important? So really, it's setting up what's the importance. Once we set up the context statement, we can then move on to building, working on the ordinance, because once you know what's important, then you can set up what your regulations are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, besides, you set up the regulations identifying what's important, you set up your procedures to how do you designate a historic property, how do you, you know, and does that, you know, one of the questions that we're going to have to answer is, are we going to designate properties with property owner concurrence or without? If it's something that's really important to the community but the property owner doesn't want it designated, how do we do that? And that'll be definitely one of the questions that will have to be answered through the process. Then coming up with the local body, who's going to be responsible for administering the provisions. I know the planning department will be responsible for the, you know, the day-to-day stuff, but then who actually decides what's a historic building? You know, because we'll set up the process for doing that, but, is that going to be the planning commission? Is that going to be city council? Is it going to be a new body? You know, those are things to be worked out. So we'll have that, but the other side of it is if we have regulations regarding a historic building, who's going to review those when people want to come in and make, you know, modifications, additions, adaptive reuse of a structure? You know, will that be planning commission? Could that be DRB? You know, all of that will need to be worked out. And then the other component will be to set up an appeals process and an enforcement process. Those are just kind of the overall ideas. The ordinance will have more things in it, or could have more things, but those are kind of the big things that we need to make sure are in there. Another part of our program. So we'll have the ordinance itself, you know, we have the context statement, we'll have survey work, and we'll have an ordinance. That's the first part of one of the parts of the program. The other two will be identification of any tools that we can use, toolbox, for preservation work. And things like, is the city going to be interested in establishing a Mills Act program? And for those of you who don't know, a Mills Act program is a, it's similar to a Williamson Act contract program, which is regarding ag properties. Mills Act is the same type of thing, except it gives somebody a reduced property taxes for a certain time period, which is then the property taxes, reduced property taxes are then used to rehab a structure and maintain it. And but that, you know, that's something that council will have to decide if we want to go there. And then the last part of the program is to have an outreach effort to educate homeowners regarding what the benefits are of having, if, you know, when we have properties that are designated historic, what the benefits are. And one of the big ones is being able to use the historic building code as opposed to the current building code. Okay, so the work that's been done to date is that we've entered into a contract with Historic Resources Group of Pasadena. They are a very prominent firm in the field of historic preservation in the state of California. They came on board in June or July. They've done a lot of work. They've been primarily doing background work right now. And we have a lot of it. and they've been, you know, doing extensive research regarding the community and notable people and events and buildings and things that make our community unique. They also have done a windshield survey of the entire community. They've driven every single street and, you know, to kind of get a sense of the community and identify properties that need further study. The other few things that have been done is that we had our first workshop with the community on December 7th. We had about 20 people, I think, for the meeting. We broke into two groups, and the idea was more background community. They wanted to mine what information people had about what was important in the community, things that maybe they hadn't identified yet, either through the windshield survey or through any of the research they've been doing. They have been working with that information, and based on the research, they have started working on the draft context statement. And we also have established a web page that's devoted to the Historic Preservation Project, which is up on the city's website. And I encourage you to go look at that. Here's just a few pictures that they've been able to come up, find as they've gone through the archives. It's called, you know, La Galita Road, which I guess is now Hollister, which is cool. A gas station on Hollister Avenue. This was an aerial from 1967, which I want to spend time looking at because I like aerials. And then there's an oil-filled map that they found. And I'll be putting some of these pictures up. These pictures aren't up on the website yet, but we are, you know, as we get things in, we put things up on the website. So I do encourage you to go on the website, and I believe we've signed the new commissioners up, but anybody who wants to get notification of either upcoming meetings or when we have additional information regarding where we are in the project, you'll get notification. And if you go onto the city's website, we can you can sign up or we can add you. But I do encourage people who want to be who are interested in this project to sign up to get notification. So the work that's going to happen in the next few months is that HRG told me on Friday that they're going to be here at the end of this month to do some more detail to actually delve, more than water skiing across the surface now, kind of, diving deep to do some more detailed surveys of the structures that they have, tentatively identified as things to do more research on. We hope or planning on having the draft context statement available for the public review starting in spring. And then probably a few weeks after we release the context statement to have a community workshop to really get people's input into, have we gotten it right? What more work do we need to do? And go from there. So there should be stuff coming up on historic preservation, I would think, in the next, well, spring. Because I don't want to overcommit. And that is our presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the commission? No? Okay. Thank you very much, Interim sure. Director Posse, for the wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
All right. So with that, we will go to the director's report and back to Interim Director Posse.
Thank you. I have a few things. One, just so for your information, and we'll be mindful of this, there was a change in state law recently regarding when people come to the podium. If someone is using a translator, whether that's, you know, another language or sign language, we are to give them twice as much time because, you know, they have to speak and then it needs to be translated. So we'll, if that happens, I hope it happens, we'll make sure we give them the appropriate amount of time. But I just wanted you guys to be aware of that. Also, when we set our calendar back in October, November, you know, we did cancel the last meeting of March and the first meeting of April, and the commission indicated that if we needed another meeting in that time period, you would be open to entertaining it. And we do want to check in on your availability for Monday, April 3rd. So I don't, if you guys don't want to, you know, commit tonight, that's fine. But if we'll have Wendy send out an email about that to see if you're available. But we are tentatively looking at having a need for a meeting on April 3rd. Not quite sure yet. We have a couple items that are, things are in motion, and it's possible that they won't be ready for the, I believe it's March 13th is our regular meeting that's scheduled, and then the last meeting of April is the 28th, 4th? 4th. You know, that is a pretty long time period, but we're working on it. And then my third item is just to let you know that Commissioner Jenkins is going to be receiving his title from the City Council in recognition for his service on the Planning Commission, and that's next Tuesday at, I believe it's on the afternoon agenda, and I'll have Wendy send that out as well. So if anybody's interested in attending, just want to let you know that that will be happening. And that's all I have is for the director's report.
At this time, I will open up for any planning commissioner comments. I will just note that I welcome our two new planning commissioners, and I'm excited to get to know you through this process. With that, I will call to adjourn. Oh, wait, no. Do I need a motion? Oh, I need a motion to adjourn. Can I have a first to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Okay. Can I get a second to adjourn?
I'll second.
Okay. And now I adjourn? And then I guess everybody says aye if you want to adjourn.
Aye.
Aye. I'm learning.